Welcome to the MMA and Sports Betting Podcast, where I preview and give my predictions for every MMA fight from a betting perspective. I'll also give out the bets I'm making in the other sports for the week, if I have any at the time of recording. As always, I am your host, Michael Grocki, and let's get started with UFC Tampa. UFC is back in the States for UFC Fight Night 161. The event will be held at the Amalie Center in Tampa, Florida on Saturday night. The main event takes place in the women's strawweight division, where Joanna Janjacek takes on Michelle Waterson. The co-main event takes place in the men's lightweight division, where Cub Swanson faces off against Cron Gracie. Also on the main card, Mike Davis takes on Thomas Gifford. Mackenzie Dern faces off against Amanda Ribas. We have Matt Frivola versus Luis Pena, and Eric Anders versus Gerald Meerschaert. Starting off in the main event, we have Joanna Janjacek with a record of 15-3, taking on Michelle Waterson with a record of 17-6. Current odds on this one has Janjacek at -365. Comeback on Waterson is +290. So Joanna Janjacek won the women's strawweight championship by defeating Carla Esparza via TKO at UFC 185. She then went on to successfully defend the title five times. She eventually lost the title to Rose Namajunas at UFC 217 via TKO, and then lost the rematch via unanimous decision at UFC 223. She bounced back with a victory over Tisha Torres via unanimous decision at UFC on Fox 30, but she lost her most recent fight to Valentina Shevchenko via unanimous decision at UFC 231. After starting 14-0, Joanna is 1-3 over her previous four bouts. Of the Polish-born fighter's 15 career wins, 10 of them went the distance. The 32-year-old will make the walk for the 19th time on Saturday night. After losing two in a row, Michelle Waterson enters Saturday night's fight riding a three-fight win streak. Her most recent victory occurred at UFC on ESPN 2, where she defeated Karolina Kowalczyk via unanimous decision. 12 of the American's 17 wins ended inside the distance, 9 via submission. The 33-year-old makes the walk for the 24th time when she steps into the octagon opposite Janjacek on Saturday. Janjacek is an excellent striker who likes to push a pace and outland her opponents. She also has great striking defense. She's such a good stand-up fighter, her wrestling goes overlooked. She has excellent takedown defense, and she's definitely fought by far the tougher competition of the two. Waterson is also very good on the feet. She's accurate and has good striking defense, but she doesn't push a pace quite like Janjacek does. She has very good wrestling and fights well off her back, but I don't see her having much success against Joanna. Joanna has been in the cage with the best in the world, and quite honestly, I think Waterson has stepped down in the level of competition. My only hesitation in backing Janjacek here is I'm not quite sure where she is at mentally. My official pick will be Joanna Janjacek by decision. And from a betting perspective, you know, I think a focused Joanna cruises past Waterson, but for now it's a pass for me just because I'm not quite sure where she is mentally. Moving on, in the co-main event, we have Cub Swanson with a record of 25-11. He's taking on Cron Gracie with a record of 5-0. Current odds on this one has Gracie -190, comeback on Swanson +155. Longtime UFC veteran Cub Swanson has fallen in hard times as of late. He entered Saturday's fight on a four-fight skid. His most recent loss was at UFC Fight Night 151, where he dropped a split decision to Shane Burgos. Of the 35-year-old's 25 career victories, 15 ended inside the distance, 11 via knockout. Swanson will make the walk for the 38th time. Cron Gracie has yet to taste defeat in his career. All five of his victories are via submission, and he has yet to see the third round. The Brazilian's most recent win was at UFC on ESPN 1, where he subbed Alex Caceres in the first round. It's no secret Gracie's path to victory is to get his opponent to the ground where he can work his world-class jiu-jitsu and submission game. Swanson has good takedown defense, but he has been submitted twice in his last four losses. This is a big step up in level of competition for Crone, but I think he's up to the challenge. So my official pick here will be Gracie by submission. From a betting perspective, look, I have a ton of respect for Cub and his career, but I've seen him get taken down by lesser fighters than Gracie. I would consider Crone at minus 190. If you don't like the odds being that high, you might want to consider using him in a parlay. Next up, we have Mike Davis with a record of 6-2. He's taking on Thomas Gifford with a record of 17-8 with two no contests. Current odds has Mike Davis minus 325. Comeback on Thomas Gifford is plus 250. Mike Davis steps in on short notice for Brock Weaver to take on Gifford on Saturday. Davis started his career winning his first five fights. He suffered his first loss at Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series in Season 2, where Sadiq Youssef beat him via unanimous decision. He bounced back with a win over Elvin Brito via TKO at Island Fights 51, but lost his most recent fight to Gilbert Burns via submission at UFC Fight Night 150. All six of his pro victories are via TKO or knockout. At 27 years old, Davis will make the walk for the ninth time on Saturday. Thomas Gifford lost his UFC debut to Roosevelt Roberts via unanimous decision at UFC Fight Night 150. All but one of his 17 career victories ended inside the distance. 13 are via submission. He's also been finished in five of his eight losses. This will be the 27-year-old's 28th pro bout. My official pick here is going to be Davis via TKO. And from a betting perspective, I'll be passing at 3-1 odds, but Davis in a parlay is very tempting. Next up in the women's strawweight division, we have Mackenzie Dern with a record of 7-0, taking on Amanda Ribas with a record of 7-1. Current odds on this one has Mackenzie Dern minus 150. Comeback on Amanda Ribas is plus 120. So 4 months after giving birth to her first child, Mackenzie Dern returns to the octagon to face Amanda Ribas. 26-year-old is undefeated. Her most recent victory was at UFC 224, where she defeated Amanda Cooper via submission in the first round. Four of her seven career wins are by way of submission. Amanda Ribas enters a fight on a two-fight win streak. Her most recent win was also her UFC debut. She defeated Emily Whitmire via submission at UFC on ESPN 3. All but two of the Brazilian's seven wins ended inside the distance, three via knockout to go along with three by submission. At 26 years old, Ribas will make the walk for the ninth time. Ribas is a well-rounded fighter. Dern's jiu-jitsu and grappling are well-known, but she's also been making improvements in her striking. Ribas, I think, will be outmatched on the ground, and I'm not even sure she's better than Mackenzie on the feet. So my official pick here is going to be Mackenzie Dern by submission. And from a betting perspective, I do like Dern at minus 150. Next up, we have Matt Frivola with a record of 7-1-1. He's taking on Luis Pena with a record of 7-1. Current odds has Pena minus 175. Comeback on Frivola plus 145. So Matt Frivola will look to make it two wins in a row on Saturday night. His most recent win occurred at UFC 236, where he beat Jalen Turner via unanimous decision. Three of his seven victories are via submission with one knockout. This will be the 29-year-old's 10th pro fight. 26-year-old Luis Pena is on a two-fight win streak coming into his bout against Frivola. His most recent win occurred at UFC Fight Night 154, where he finished Matt Wyman in the third round. Six of his seven pro wins ended inside the distance. Four are via submission. The 26-year-old will make the walk for the ninth time on Saturday. So this is an interesting matchup. Both fighters are decent strikers, but neither are very accurate. However, Pena is the more aggressive striker, who also has more power. Pena is good on the ground, but I think Frivola is better. Pena doesn't have the best takedown defense, so if Frivola has success getting the fight to the ground, I think I kind of like his chances here. Frivola needs to be careful, though, because if Pena clips him, due to his power, it could be over fairly quickly. My official pick on this one is going to be Frivola by decision, but I say that with very little confidence. From a betting perspective, this one's a dog or pass situation for me, but ultimately I probably will be passing altogether on it. And next up, we have Eric Anders with a record of 12-4, taking on Gerald Meerschaert with a record of 30-11. Current odds has Anders minus 150, comeback on Meerschaert plus 120. So Eric Anders was on a three-fight skid until finally getting back in the win column in his most recent fight. He defeated Vinicius Moura Castro via first-round knockout at UFC on ESPN3. 9 of his 12 victories ended inside the distance, 8 via knockout, and 1 by submission. At 32 years of age, Anders will make the walk for the 17th time. Gerald Meerschaert lost back-to-back fights to Jack Hermanson at UFC on Fox 31 and Kevin Holland at UFC on ESPN2, but he bounced back most recently by defeating Trevin Giles via submission at UFC on ESPN5. Of his 30 wins, 22 are by way of submission. This will be the 31-year-old's 42nd professional fight. Anders has a ton of power, but he's a low-volume striker. In most of his fights, it's his opponents pushing the pace. Meerschaert will want to get the fight to the ground early and often. He has good takedowns and an excellent submission game. He's also very good at fighting off his back, but I don't see Anders taking him down and getting top position here. Anders must be able to defend the takedown and keep the fight standing. I think that's easier said than done, though. I think Meerschaert will have success taking Anders down, but I think he'll struggle to keep him there. My official pick here will be Anders by decision. I think he'll be able to keep the fight standing long enough to be able to outpoint Meerschaert at the end of the fight. But from a betting perspective, this one is going to be a hard pass for me. So let's take a commercial break, and when we return, we'll dive into the prelim portion of the card. All right, we are back. Let's get into the prelims of UFC Tampa. First up, we have Nico Price with a record of 13-3. He's taking on James Vick with a record of 13-4. Current odds on this one has Nico Price minus 150. Comeback on James Vick is plus 120. So I'll be surprised if this one makes it to the judges' scorecards. I expect this to be primarily a striking affair. Vic is a good striker who likes to push a pace. Price is also a striker, but he throws punches wildly with little accuracy. Both fighters have weak striking defense and are very hittable, which worries me about backing either of them here. Vic has fought the tougher competition, but his chin issues are well documented. That said, I am going to go with Vic via TKO. I think the move to the higher weight class is going to suit him well, and I think his chin, although history doesn't back it here, but I think his chin will be able to hold up. I just think Price is a little too wild. I think Vic will be able to land on him. From a betting perspective, though, I am going to pass. Again, I don't trust the chin of either fighter, but I am curious to see how Vic's chin holds up here. This one will come down to who lands first, but ultimately I will be passing on this fight. Moving on, we have Ryan Spann with a record of 16-5. He's taking on Devin Clark with a record of 10-3. Current odds has Spann minus 170. Comeback on Clark is plus 140. Spann is a dangerous striker with power who uses his length well. He prefers to fight in space, while Clark prefers to strike inside boxing range, but he doesn't have the power Spann has. They're both good wrestlers, but I would give the edge to Clark. That said, if Clark does have success taking Spann down, I don't see him being able to do anything with it. If the fight plays out primarily on the feet, I like Spann to get the victory. However, his poor cardio could come into play if Clark does have success with taking him down. So my official pick is going to be Spann by decision, but I take him with not a ton of confidence here. And from a betting perspective, I do, like I said, I like Spann to win, but I just don't trust his cardio enough to back him. So moving on, we have Davison Figueiredo with a record of 16-1. He's taking on Tim Elliott with a record of 15-8-1. Current odds has Figueiredo minus 200, comeback on Elliott plus 160. So this one comes down to which fighter can implement his game plan over the other. Figueiredo has the clear advantage on the feet. He's definitely the better striker with more power. While Figueiredo is good on the ground, he's not on Elliott's level. Elliott is excellent at getting his opponents to the ground and holding them there, but I do question if he has the strength to hold Figueiredo down due to Davison's strength. My official pick is going to be Figueiredo by decision, but again, I take him with little confidence. I think Elliott is a live dog. So from a betting perspective, I'm passing, but I do think there is quite a bit of value on Tim Elliott plus 160. Moving on, we have Max Griffin. His record's 15-6. He's taking on Alex Morono with a record of 16-5. Current odds has Max Griffin minus 140. Comeback on Alex Morono is plus 110. Morono is primarily a striker who likes to push a pace. He has decent wrestling, but he isn't looking to go to the ground. I think he'll have the advantage on the feet, but Griffin is the better wrestler, which I think might play a factor in this fight. If Griffin comes in with a wrestling-heavy game plan, then I do like his chances, and because of that, I am going to back Griffin by decision as my official pick. But from a betting perspective, I am going to pass because I think Morono is very solid on the feet. Next up, we have Miguel Baeza with a record of 7-0, taking on Hector Aldana with a record of 4-2. Current odds has Baeza minus 240. Comeback on Aldana is plus 200. So Baeza is a good striker with a ton of power, and he also uses his reach really well. Aldana likes to march forward, but I don't think his striking is on Baeza's level. Aldana has fought the tougher competition, and he will have the experience on his side. But I think Baeza, I think he's the more athletic. He's a stronger fighter and definitely the younger fighter. So I'm going to back him for those reasons, and I am going to take him by decision. I think the odds on this are kind of wide, so I will be passing from a betting perspective due to the odds just being too wide for my liking. Moving on, we have Marvin Vettori with a record of 13-3-1. He will be facing off against Andrew Sanchez with a record of 11-4. Current odds here has Vettori minus 300, comeback on Sanchez is plus 240. Sanchez is a good wrestler, and he's going to want to get Vettori to the ground early and often. He also has excellent ground and pound. Vettori has a big edge on the feet striking, though. He's also he also has really good takedown defense. So while the path to victory for Sanchez is to get the fight to the ground, I think Vettori is going to be able to defend the takedown enough, keep the fight standing long enough to piece Sanchez up on the feet. Vettori also definitely has the edge in the cardio factor here, and I do see that coming into play. And because of that cardio edge, as well as his ability to defend the takedown, my official pick will be Vettori via TKO. And from a betting perspective, I do like Vettori here. Minus 300 is a little wide, but I think there's still some value. But if you feel minus 300 is too steep for you, I would definitely consider putting him in a parlay. Next up in the women's flyweight division, we have JJ Aldrich with a record of 7-3, taking on Lauren Mueller with a record of 5-2. Current odds has Aldrich minus 175. Comeback on Mueller is plus 145. I expect this fight to play out on the feet. Both fighters are average strikers who like to pressure their opponents. Aldrich looks to be the sharper striker, in my opinion, but neither fighter is a threat on the ground. But should the fight go to the ground, I do favor Mueller ever so slightly. Considering the styles of both fighters, it'll be interesting to see which one of them backs up first. My official pick is going to be Mueller by decision, but I take her with very, very little confidence. From a betting perspective, this one is a hard pass for me. And finally, we have Marlon Vera with a record of 16-5-1, taking on Andre Yule with a record of 15-5. Current odds has Marlon Vera minus 165. Comeback on Andre Yule is at plus 135. So Vera is a decent striker with power. He's an efficient grappler, and he's very dangerous on the ground. He does struggle with defending the takedown, but I don't think that deficiency will come into play against Yule. Ewell prefers to stand and trade on the feet. He does have the advantage over Vera on the feet. He's definitely the more technical striker with better striking defense. But if Vera decides to abandon his ground game and stand and trade with Ewell, I do think it's going to be a mistake. Ewell has he has poor takedown defense, and he's also prone to getting subbed, which I think that plays right into Vera's advantage here in this fight. So for those reasons alone, I'm taking Vera by decision, and a submission is definitely not out of the question. And from a betting perspective, I do like Vera at minus 165. So that'll do it for UFC Tampa. Quickly, I would like to run down the Bellator events for the weekend. They do have a Bellator kickboxing event, and then they have back-to-back MMA events. The first of those is Bellator Milan. That takes place at the Ex Palalito in Milan, Italy. The main event takes place in the light heavyweight division, where Melvin Manoff goes up against Yannick Bahati. And in the co-main event, Stefano Paterno takes on Ashley Reese. Main card also includes Alessio Sakara. He's taking on Kenan Grigsby and Kane Musa versus Rafael Macedo. So in the heavyweight, in the light heavyweight division, the main event has Melvin Manoff with a record of 31-14-1. He's taking on Yannick Bahati. Current odds here has Manoff minus 225. The comeback on Bahati is at plus 165. So just a quick note with these Bellator cards, the odds do come out very late, right up to fight time. So most of the fights I'm going to talk about here don't have odds on them, but the ones that do, I will definitely mention. So after losing back-to-back bids for the Bellator middleweight championship to Rafael Carvalho, Melvin Manoff got back into the win column in his most recent fight by defeating Kent Kupinen via unanimous decision at Bellator 223. His fight against Bahati will be the 49th of his career. Of the 43-year-old's 31 professional victories, 28 are by way of knockout. Only three have gone to the judges' scorecards. 29-year-old Yannick Bahati will make the walk for the 15th time when he steps into the cage opposite Manoff. After losing three fights in a row, Bahati won his Bellator debut by beating Amir Edadovich at Bellator Birmingham. He'll try to make it two victories in a row and improve to 2-0 under the Bellator banner with a win over Manoff. Eight of the English-born fighter's nine wins ended inside the distance. My official pick on this one will be Manoff by decision, but from a betting perspective, I will be passing. And as you'll see as we move along here, most of these fights I will be passing on. Next up, we have Stefano Paterno. He has a record of 12-3-1. He'll be facing off against Ashley Reese with a record of 8-1. No odds currently on this fight. Italian-born fighter Stefano Paterno is 2-1 over his previous three. He lost his most recent fight to Ross Houston via split decision at Cage Warriors 98. After 16 pro fights, the 24-year-old will make his Bellator debut when he steps into the cage opposite Reese. Of his 12 pro victories, 11 ended inside the distance, 8 are via knockout. After winning his first six pro fights in a row, Ashley Reese suffered his first loss when he was defeated by Adam Proctor via unanimous decision at ACB 87. Since that loss, the 31-year-old has gone 2-0, and he is also 2-0 under the Bellator banner. His most recent victory occurred at Bellator Birmingham, where he beat Craig Turner via unanimous decision. Five of the English-born fighter's eight victories ended inside the distance. My official pick on this one is going to be Paterno via TKO, but I will be passing from a betting perspective. Next up, Alessio Sakara. He has a record of 20-13 and looks like two no contests. He'll be taking on Kenan Grigsby, and Grigsby comes in with a record of 8-7. We do have odds on this one. They are quite wide, as Alessio Sakara comes in minus 650. Comeback on Kenan Grigsby is plus 425. Italy's Alessio Sakara is 1-2 over his previous three fights. He lost his most recent fight to Kent Kupinen via first-round knockout at Bellator 211. This would be the 36-year-old's 38th professional fight. 16 of his 20 pro wins ended inside the distance, 14 via knockout. American-born fighter Kenan Grigsby makes his Bellator debut after losing his previous two fights. His most recent loss was at Caribbean Fighting Championship 4, where he lost to Evan Ned via TKO. 7 of his 8 pro career wins ended inside the distance, all 7 via knockout. The 39-year-old will make the walk for the 16th time. My official pick here will be Sakara via TKO, but with such wide odds, I will be passing. Next up, we have Kane Musa with a record of 12-2 versus Rafael Macedo with a record of 9-4 and won no contest. No current odds on this fight as of yet. Kane Musa enters this fight the winner of his last two. His most recent victory occurred at Bellator Birmingham, where he beat Matheus Piskors via unanimous decision. He'll look to go 2-0 under the Bellator banner with a win over Macedo. Half of the English-born fighter's 12 pro wins ended inside the distance. This will be his 15th pro fight. Brazilian-born fighter Rafael Macedo is 2-2 over his previous four, alternating between wins and losses. His most previous fight was at Cage Warriors 93, where he defeated Perry Goodwin via unanimous decision. He'll be looking to go 1-0 in his Bellator debut against Musa. 7 of his 9 career victories ended inside the distance, 4 via submission. The 33-year-old will make the walk for the 15th time. My official pick here will be Musa via TKO, but again, I will be passing from a betting perspective. And the one fight on the prelims, we have Nicolo Soli with a record of 2-0 taking on Daniel Castle. He has a record of 3-3-1. No current odds on this fight as of yet. Daniel Castle is 1-1 in his previous two fights. His most recent fight was his Bellator debut, where he defeated John Nichols via first-round knockout at Bellator Birmingham. He has 2 wins via finish in his 3 career victories. At 28 years old, Castle will make the walk for the 8th time. Nicolo Soli is 1-0 for the promotion. His most recent fight occurred at Bellator Birmingham, where he beat Simon Ridgway via TKO. Both of his professional wins ended inside the distance. This will be the 21-year-old's 3rd pro fight. Official pick here will be Soli by submission. And again, I will be passing from a betting perspective. Next up, the next event that Bellator has, which will be right after Bellator Milan, is Bellator 230. Again, that event does take place at the Ex Palolito, again in Milan, Italy. Main event takes place in the light heavyweight division, where Rafael Carvalho takes on Vadim Nemkov. The co-main takes place in the heavyweight division, where Domingos Barros goes up against Kirill Seidelnikov. Main card also includes Drago Zubko taking on Hezdy Gurgis and Andrea Fusi. He is taking on Walter Pugliese. Starting off in the main event, we go to the light heavyweight division where Rafael Carvalho takes on Vadim Nemkov. Carvalho comes in with a record of 16-3, and Nemkov has a record of 10-2. No current odds on this fight as of yet. So after losing the Bellator middleweight championship to Gegard Mousasi at Bellator 200, Rafael Carvalho has gone 1-1 over his previous two bouts. His most recent fight occurred at Bellator 224, where he defeated Chidi Njokuani via unanimous decision. Prior to that victory, he lost to Lyoto Machida via split decision at Bellator 213. Of the Brazilian's 16 career wins, 12 ended inside the distance, all via knockout. This will be the 33-year-old's 20th pro bout. Vadim Nemkov enters the fight riding a 5-fight win streak. His most recent victory was at Bellator 209, where he beat former Bellator light heavyweight champion Phil Davis via split decision. 9 of the Russian-born fighter's 10 pro victories ended inside the distance, 8 via knockout. The 27-year-old will make the walk for the 13th time. My official pick in this fight will be Nemkov by knockout. And from a betting perspective, I do like Nemkov in this matchup. I think this is a good spot for him. And once the odds come out, I will be taking a look at that. Next up, we have Andrea Fusi with a record of 8-4, taking on Walter Pugliese with a record of 4-2. No current odds as of yet. Italy's own Andrea Fusi enters the fight looking for his fourth straight win. His most recent victory occurred at NDC 17, where he defeated Ayub Gerardia via first round submission. Five of his eight pro victories ended inside the distance, three via knockout. The 27-year-old will make the walk for the 13th time. After winning his first six fights in a row, Walter Pugliese is on a two-fight skid. His most recent loss occurred at Nova Fighting Championship 1, where Jan Zander finished him in the first round. Prior to that loss, Andrea Fusi handed Pugliese his first career loss. The Italian-born fighter will make the walk for the ninth time when he faces Fusi for the second time in three fights. All six of his victories ended inside the distance. My official pick here is going to be Fusi by decision, and I think he goes 2-0 against Walter Pugliese. From a betting perspective, it is a hard pass. Next up, we have Kirill Seidelnikov with a record of 11-6, taking on Domingos Barros. He is undefeated with a record of 6-0. No current odds as of this time. Domingos Barros is undefeated as a pro. His most recent fight was at Bellator 211, where he defeated Hedzi Gürges via first-round TKO. It was also his promotional debut. Four of the 27-year-old's seven victories ended inside the distance, all via knockout. Kirill Seidelnikov enters the fight on a two-fight skid. His most recent loss was at Bellator 209, where he got finished by Adam Koresh. It was also his Bellator debut. The Russian-born fighter will make the walk for the 18th time. Seven of his 11 wins ended inside the distance. My official pick here is going to be Domingos Barros via TKO, but I will be passing as far as betting the fight goes. And finally, we have Dragos Zubko. His record is 2-1. He takes on Hedzi Gürges with a record of 0-1. Dragos Zubko will be making his Bellator debut here. He has yet to get out of the first round in his three professional fights. His most recent bout was at Diamond Boxing Tourneal, where he defeated Dmitry Matvienko via knockout. Hedzi Gürges is still searching for his first win as a professional fighter. The 35-year-old lost his Bellator debut to Domingos Barros via first-round knockout at Bellator 211. Don't have a real good feel on this fight, but I am going to back the fighter who has yet to win. I am going to go with Gürges here via TKO. And again, yes, I will be passing as far as betting the fight goes. So that is the Bellator and UFC events for the weekend. Quite a lot of fights to follow here. Taking a quick look at college football and the NFL. As of right now, I don't have anything up for college football. But going into Saturday, my record in college football is 12-8 for plus 3.85 units. As soon as I get something finalized here, I will be posting that on Twitter. And in the NFL, I am under 500 with a record of 7-8 for minus 3.40 units. I did make two plays that I did post on Twitter already. So hopefully you got down on those when I posted them. I did put one unit on the Houston Texans at plus 4.5. And I also put one unit on the Detroit Lions at plus 4.5. So again, just follow me on Twitter and I will get both all my college football and NFL plays posted as soon as I finalize them. So that will do it for this episode of the MMA and Sports Betting Podcast. If you like the show, I encourage you to check out the MMA and Sports Betting newsletter on Substack. The link to the newsletter is mmaandsportsbetting.substack.com. I would also greatly appreciate it if you hit the subscribe button. The newsletter is free to subscribe to, and you'll get all of my MMA previews and predictions, as well as every bet I make sent directly to your inbox. Again, you can find the newsletter at MMAandSportsBetting.substack.com. You can also follow me, the podcast, and the newsletter on Twitter at Michael Grocki. That is MICHAELGROCKE. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for the podcast or the newsletter, the email address is MMAandSportsBettingPodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, everyone, enjoy the fights and may all your bets be winners.